Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of my podcast, which I still have no idea what it's called. I'm hoping to just figure it out along the way. But today's episode is going to be talking about creating long-term safety in our relationships and how sometimes we have to do things that actually feel quite dangerous in order to create that safety that we want in the long term. And the word feel in this is very important to note, because you'll never be required to do anything that's actually dangerous to create safety in your relationship. But there are some things that are necessary that will literally feel like death when you have to do them because of the past experiences that you have before. Let me give you a personal example. Anything to do with setting boundaries or expressing my needs or being vulnerable and sharing my feelings literally felt like death to me. And sometimes they still do, depending on the context of the situation. I'd literally feel my heart start racing. It's going to explode out of my chest. Because in the past, whenever I did try and do these things, whenever I did try and speak up for what I wanted or to say how I felt, I was constantly shut down. I was rejected. I was told I was wrong, that what I needed wasn't right, and that I was selfish. So I associate expressing myself with immediate rejection. So my nervous system goes into a complete fight or flight state because I'm anticipating that I'm going to get rejected again. So for me, staying small and not expressing what I needed and not expressing my feelings was my way of keeping myself safe. So here's what happened. I never felt valued in my relationships because people didn't know how to value me in the way that I wanted to be valued. I never told them how to do that. I felt resentful because I felt like I was constantly giving and constantly putting other people above myself, and I was never receiving the same treatment in exchange. And it made me feel even more insecure because I was perpetuating this feeling that I'm not good enough to receive what I want. And when other people wouldn't treat me in the way that I wanted them to, that would make me feel even more unworthy, even though I really had myself to blame because I never communicated what it was that I actually wanted. So what I came to realize is that these things that I was doing to keep myself safe, which was the people-pleasing, the self-abandonment, the not having any boundaries, actually didn't make me feel very safe at all. It was a very skewed conception of what safety in a relationship is. I thought that just because I'm maintaining a relationship with someone, that I am safe. Just because I still have that person in connection with me, that I was safe. But I realized that the real safety is not losing myself. The real safety is being loved and valued and appreciated for who I am, not for what I give, and to have my needs met and to feel safe to express myself. So here's how I started doing the work to gain the strength and the confidence to help me do the scary things and start creating long-term safety in my relationships. So the first thing that I did was I started going to therapy, and I started understanding the root of my own behavior and why I was doing the things that I was doing. Because before that, I literally had no idea. I was just running on autopilot. My default was just to say yes to people and to abandon myself. And I'd always feel like shit afterwards and have no idea what was going on. So by understanding how my past played a huge role in all of the things that I was doing, it helped me separate myself from the behavior a little bit more. It helped me see it more when it was coming up. And that awareness, I think, has allowed me to start thinking about how I want to show up differently. And through my therapy, I learned that my needs and my feelings were shut down not because they were wrong, but because the person who was shutting me down did not have the emotional capacity to hold anyone but themselves in the relationship dynamic. And that information set me free. It set me free from blaming myself and feeling like I was wrong. I'd spent so long abandoning myself and what I wanted and what I needed that I literally had no idea who I was or what I wanted or what I needed. So a huge part of improving my relationship with myself was almost like starting to date myself. I started asking myself more questions. I started trying new experiences just to figure out what I like, what I don't like, and starting to understand the things that really made me feel safe and loved, and the things that didn't. And through knowing that and starting to meet those needs on my own, I started rewiring my brain to understand that, hey, it feels really good to get your needs met. It feels really good to give yourself love and to take care of yourself. And it's almost like a process of reparenting yourself and giving yourself the things that you never had. And when you do those actions consistently over time, what you're doing is you are communicating to your brain that, hey, I do believe that I'm worthy. I am taking care of myself. And it starts to build your confidence naturally. My self-talk was also a huge thing. I had a massive, massive inner critic that was always judging and criticizing me for every little thing that I did. And when you are speaking to yourself like shit, you're not going to feel worthy. And if you don't feel worthy, then you're not going to allow yourself to take up space. So I really had to work on my self-talk and, you know, speak to myself as I would speak to a friend, learn how to self-soothe my anxiety and my negative thoughts towards myself. And honestly, that has massively helped me as well, shift my perspective about myself. And that's not to say that I don't have any insecurities anymore, that I never have any negative self-talk. I really hoped that that would happen one day, but it's 5 years later and it still hasn't happened. I've been told by my therapist that it's a very unrealistic expectation, and I'm starting to realize that it is. So yeah, even though I still am hard on myself sometimes, and I do still find myself being a little judgmental or a little bit critical, I am able to meet myself there, and I'm able to just give myself the love that that voice really needs. So yeah, I started treating myself really well. I started getting more comfortable with myself. And honestly, I started becoming really happy in my own company, which made it harder for me then to settle for relationships that didn't make me feel good, because I didn't need anyone to make me feel happy. I suddenly knew how to make myself happy. And I wanted to have relationships. It's not like I just wanted to sit in a corner on my own, which is the reason why I started doing this work in the first place, to learn how to have better relationships with people. The third thing was that I really had to keep practicing and failing and practicing at failing at being vulnerable and asking for my needs and setting boundaries. Because like I said, it feels like death, and it's not always easy to do it in the moment. But giving myself little reminders that I am doing this for me, I'm doing this for my own happiness, I'm doing this because I deserve it, helped me take the necessary steps that I knew I needed to take, even if they weren't directly in the moment that I needed to take them. And one thing that I learned that has helped me make it less hard to do these things is that when we are communicating our feelings and our needs and our boundaries, it is not so that other people will accept them. It is so that other people know what it is that we require. And then it is their responsibility to decide from their side whether it is something that they are willing to do, whether it is something they want to do, or if it's something that they even have the capacity to do. And their response has nothing to do with whether what you're saying or what you're bringing to the table is right or wrong. Because that was one of the biggest fears, right? If somebody rejects my feelings, if somebody rejects my boundary, then that means that what I'm asking is wrong. And that's why so many of us are afraid of doing it, because we don't want to have that feeling that we've been rejected and that we are wrong. But when we stop taking their reaction personally, we gain a lot more power to do the things that we know that we need to do to start feeling more safe and fulfilled in our relationships. And the most important and difficult lesson that I learned through this experience was that there's no amount of relationship podcasts, there's no amount of therapy, there's no amount of books that you can read on people-pleasing or perfectionism that are going to make you do the things that you need to do. Information is powerful, but it doesn't make making the change feel any easier. It gives you something to work towards. It gives you a better understanding of yourself, which, like I've said, has been super, super helpful. But it's not going to suddenly become easier to express your feelings and be vulnerable just because Brené Brown said that it's the birthplace of vulnerability. And it's not going to become easier to set boundaries just because you saw a boundary framework on Instagram. At the end of the day, our inability to do these things comes from a survival response. we have been operating in this place of danger for years, and it is literally hardwired into our nervous system. When you are trying to break out of it, it is literally going to feel like you are dying, because essentially what you're doing is that you are removing your armor, the armor that has kept you alive for so long, the one that you've had to put on in order to keep yourself safe, and you are just ripping it off you, and you are exposing yourself to being killed, essentially. And this is the thing that I wish that I realized sooner, is that you need to stop waiting for it to feel easy before you do it. Because I was expecting at some point that all of these tools and all this information that I was getting was actually going to make me feel better about doing these things. But what I learned is that you're never going to feel good about doing it until you do it consistently over and over and over again. I say that as if there's a destination where one day you're going to wake up and it's just like, feels like reading the newspaper is super easy. But I think it's a lot more complicated than that. And I think that there's going to be certain situations that really activate you a lot more than others, where you're going to find putting this into practice even harder. It's a constant practice. It's a constant learning. And I know this sounds very like masculine, like a very bro approach, but you kind of just have to do it. You have to stop waiting for it to be easy, and you have to do it regardless of how uncomfortable it feels. And you can use this masculine, just do it, bro approach, and obviously bring in something very nurturing and very feminine afterwards, learning how to soothe yourself and regulate yourself after doing something that literally makes you feel like you're about to die. For me, the things that have really helped me to self-regulate is doing stuff like breath work, doing some yoga, journaling, processing my thoughts and feelings. Sounds very cliche, but I think there's a reason why these things are so popular. They actually work, especially when you find yourself in that really, really heightened state. So those are things that personally have worked for me. You can find loads of other things online as well if you would like. But yeah, I think the most powerful tool that I have had, which is not really a tool, is just really fucking throwing myself into it and just doing the thing. It didn't start happening straight away. I'd find myself sometimes that I wouldn't express my need, or I wouldn't set the boundary in the moment of where I really needed to do it. But what I would do then is I would go away, I would reflect, I would regulate myself, and then I would express the need, the boundary, the feeling afterwards. And even though it was really annoying initially, because I was like, I should just be able to do it in the moment. Why didn't I just do it when I knew I needed to do it? But I also had to bring in a bit of that self-compassion and that positive self-talk towards myself and be like, hey, this literally feels like death and it's hard. And if you can't do it in the moment, if you can do it afterwards, you're still practicing how to do it. And the more that you practice how to do it, you'll find the more that you realize that it is okay to do it. Because not everyone's going to treat you in the same way that you were treated when you initially did it in your earlier years. You're not going to experience the same reaction that you had when that trauma hit you and you felt like, okay, you can't express yourself anymore. So with the practice comes building confidence and building trust and giving yourself grace when, you know, you don't do it perfectly is fine, as long as you know that you can pick yourself up and you need to do what you know you need to do afterwards. And then it becomes more natural to start closing the gap between the time of when you need to do it and when you actually do it. And you know, I wish that I could say that when you start doing this, that everyone's going to be super receptive and happy to hear what you have to say and what you need. But unfortunately, that's just not the way that life works. Some people will not like your boundaries. They might have been benefiting from you not having any in the first place. Or, you know, they might just have different values or a different capacity to what it is that you actually want. In these cases, I think it's important to learn how to feel the discomfort of losing someone, but at the same time, to maintain that boundary and always put yourself first. Because the whole reason why you're doing this in the first place is for your own safety, the true safety, not the safety of maintaining a connection with someone who cannot meet you where you need to be met. So it is okay to feel upset about losing someone. That doesn't mean that you made the wrong choice. It just means that that person doesn't fit into your life the way that you hoped they would. And it's a painful thing in the moment to deal with, but I always say that when you lose some, you create the space to win some, right? And by removing people out of your life who really just cannot meet you where you need to be met, you open up the space for people who can. And that just creates the space for more fulfilling, more safe, and healthier relationships. So a short-term loss, but a long-term win. I hope you found this helpful. The main thing that I really want you to take away from this is that if safety is the thing that you really, really want, you need to be around people who value you, who hear you, who want to see you, and who want to meet you where you are. And that is not going to be possible for them to do if you don't allow them to see you and to receive your authentic expression. Thank you if you made it this far and you watched. If you have any other recommendations of videos that you would want me to do, let me know in the comments, and I will see you next week.